All right, welcome back to Talking Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley, and it's a pleasure to welcome in our next guest. She's my colleague at the Bay Area News Group. She covers the Oakland A's for the Mercury News and East Bay Times. Shayna Rubin. Shayna, how are you today?
I'm good, Kerry. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Saturday action between the Giants and the A's coming up at Oracle Park, and I want to ask you about this Oakland team that got off to such a weird start this season. Really high expectations, then an 0-6 first week of the season. They look to be in for a disaster, but they've really turned things around. What was the key behind that turnaround, and who were the catalysts in kind of moving things forward for this club?
Yeah, that seems like such a distant memory now, that 0-6 start, because right after they went on a 13-game win streak, and it was a lot of hot and cold to start. But I remember we were sort of in the middle of that six-game losing streak, asking, you know, when do you start to panic? What are you guys seeing from the team right now that's maybe lending to this strange start? And they didn't seem alarmed at all. They said, you know, good that we're getting it out of the way now. And I mean, I think that Bob Melvin was a little peeved because, you know, no manager likes to see that kind of start. But I think that says a lot about who they are as a team, which is they are pretty calm. They know who they are. They've been playing together for a while. But actually, Elvis Andrus was a new player, and he was one of the guys that seemed very seemed like he was setting the tone for the entire clubhouse, which was like, you know, good, we're getting this out of the way now. We're a good team. We know who we are. Let's just keep going and we'll get out of this. And I think that ever since then, they've gone through some ups and downs with injuries and some little losing streaks here and there, but they've been cruising.
You know, for the last few years, it really feels like Matt Chapman has been the breakout star for this team. And I know that he underwent surgery last year, and getting back to his previous level of production has been a challenge. But Matt Olson has been the guy who's been in the spotlight this year. It really feels like he's having an MVP caliber season for the A's. What's been the key for Olson so far? And is Chapman on the road to getting things back on track?
Yeah, I mean, with Chapman, it seems like he's sort of still trying to get back into feeling like himself after the surgery. And just from what I understand, it takes a couple months to start to regain your form after surgery, especially at the plate. And defensively, he didn't miss a step. He looks exactly the same. But he sort of said that he got into some bad habits at the plate when he was compensating for his hip injury. So I think that you're sort of seeing the lingering effects of him trying to use his bottom half more, get back into using his back leg more, because when he was on that hip, that bad hip, he was using his upper body to compensate for the pain he was feeling. So I think what we're seeing now is him trying to get out of those bad habits. And you're seeing it a little bit now because he's starting to drive the ball the other way, which is a sign of how he's feeling when he's feeling good at the plate. So I think that it was rough there for a while for him. He was striking out all the time, it felt, and just seemed almost a little lost. His timing was way off, but it looks like his timing is starting to find it again, and that's a good sign for him. And with Matt Olson, he last year was also obviously a strange year, just 60 games, but he was just completely lost as well. His strikeout rate was 31% or 32%. He had a 195 average. He was just swinging through stuff right in his wheelhouse. And I think what he was able to do this year is, I don't know if we can attribute it all to this, but it's something that he's mentioned, is Tommy La Stella brought a machine, like a little red machine that simulates high spin rate four seamers. And apparently it sort of helped him correct his bat path. So he is now not only swinging through pitches in his wheelhouse, but he's getting to more pitches that he might not have gotten in years past. So he's starting to hit the other way. He's hitting for average. He's hitting around 300. And with that paired with his threat as a home run hitter, he's a perennial power threat. He's become one of the most complete hitters in baseball, and he's only gotten better as the season's gone on. So I think that's what we're seeing for him is he just seems to be very quickly become much more of an evolved hitter, and it's been really fun to watch.
Oh, really interesting perspective, and especially on the Tommy La Stella note. I'm not sure that I'd heard that yet. La Stella has been out since May 2nd for the Giants, won't be eligible to return until July 2nd after he was signed this offseason. So an interesting pickup for San Francisco for a number of reasons, but it was also an interesting offseason for the Oakland A's. You know, there was the failed Marcus Semien pursuit where they kind of let him go, and then there was the Trevor Rosenthal signing that I think caught a lot of people off guard because they committed a lot of money to Trevor Rosenthal, and so far he's been on the injured list. He hasn't been healthy this year. It's been that way since spring training. Who has Bob Melvin turned to in the late innings to close games and kind of set up those save situations for the A's this year?
Yeah, it's it was sort of a very exciting signing where that everyone was like, wait, we got that guy? Okay, interesting. Trevor Rosenthal did not think that the A's would be in on this, but exciting. And I'll get to maybe, I mean, they it seems like they are expecting to get Trevor Rosenthal back for August, maybe a little later after getting surgery. So we'll see what happens with Trevor Rosenthal. But in terms of the late innings, before they even got Rosenthal, it was sort of, well, I guess we're going to have Jake Diekman do it, and Lou Trevino is an option, and that's sort of what they've gone with as this season has gone on, is a mix between Lou Trevino and Jake Diekman, depending on matchup. And they've been pretty good. I mean, they certainly have the stuff when they're on. If Lou Trevino has his cutter, and Jake Diekman last year was one of the most dominant relievers in the game. So I think that hasn't been perfect. That both have run into bumps through the season, but that's been mostly who Bob Melvin has turned to in the later innings and to close games, with a little bit of Yusmeiro Petit mixed in there.
Talking with Shayna Rubin, she covers the Oakland A's for the Bay Area News Group, my colleague at the Mercury News and East Bay Times. And Shayna, you mentioned Bob Melvin's name. I wanted to ask you about him because he's so well respected around the Bay Area. I think that there's a number of people who really love and admire the job that Bob Melvin has done in Oakland, where things haven't always been easy for him. Did it surprise you at all when the A's announced that they were picking up his 2022 option? And obviously he's beloved, but he also hasn't had much postseason success there. So, you know, they did this before he even had the opportunity to guide this 2021 team to the postseason.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all, to be honest. I mean, he's not only beloved in the clubhouse and with every player that's crossed his path and been under him as a player with his manager, but when it comes to the postseason success, this is just me opining a little, but I think that it has more to do with, you know, that's where you see the lack of resources come into play with the A's. That's where you see, you know, the teams that have the most success in the postseason, they're able to sort of identify the one or handful of key players that can push them over the edge. And I think it's not necessarily a roster construction thing, because I think that the team would love to be able to have the money to sign any and all players that they feel like could take them over the edge. But I think that the postseason was where you see budget come into play. And I think that it's hard for me, at least, to pin that on Bob Melvin, because I think that he does a tremendous job of putting out the best product given what he's given personnel-wise.
You know, we've talked a lot on this show about how difficult the National League West is with the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Padres. It just feels like it's going to be a race that goes down to the wire. I do believe that the American League West is one of the underrated divisions in baseball. After watching the Angels this week with Ohtani, with all the star power that they have, obviously haven't lived up to expectations yet, but that's a quality club. The Mariners over 500, they've got a nice young core that they'll be building around for the next few years. The Houston Astros are hitting the ball better than anyone in the majors right now, and the A's right there at or near the top of the division for most of the season. How do you size up this division, and who do you think comes out of it at the end of the season, Shayna?
Yeah, it's definitely a stacked division. I mean, the A's are playing the Rangers this week, and even though they're at the bottom of the division now, they also have a pretty good young team that they're putting together. So it's really, you know, the teams that are in this division are scrappy, and the Astros, I don't think that anyone is underestimating them given the hitters that they have on that team, but maybe a little bit. But the run differential on their end is eye-opening, and so the Astros, I imagine that the Astros will be their toughest competition, but the Mariners, you know, I think that they were a little bit underestimated heading into the season, and they have a very scrappy young team, and that's next to the Angels. You know, it's the Angels, they have the best hitter in baseball. There's so much talent in this division that it's really hard to say who's going to come out on top at this point in the season, but the A's have the pedigree, they have the talent, they have the chemistry to maintain this pace that they're at least get a playoff spot. But of course, they have a lot of challenges in their way.
And one guy that I really wanted to ask you about, because when I watch the A's, I think he is the key to the lineup and probably one of the most underrated players in baseball. And that's the local guy, Mark Canna, who has kind of solidified things at the top of the order for the past few years. He's an on-base percentage machine. I mean, if you're talking about a player that Farhan Zaidi would love, Mark Canna certainly seems like the guy. What does he do so well at the plate that keeps this A's lineup moving?
I think that the on-base percentage is the key stat there. I mean, it's been the case for the last few years. If he's just not feeling it at the plate, if he feels like he's in a little bit of a slump, he's still getting on base. So that's sort of what keeps him. He's never a bad at-bat. I've never seen him put together a bad at-bat. He's always a threat at the plate. And I've thought that as well. I mean, I don't want to scare A's fans or anything like that, but I also know that A's fans are used to seeing their favorites go elsewhere. But I think that that's the type of hitter that Farhan would covet completely, because he's just up and down an incredibly disciplined batter. And I think that that's, when it came to replacing Marcus Semien at the leadoff spot, and we asked Bob who could replace him, and Mark Canna was first on the list. And maybe you don't think of Mark Canna because he's not, you know, he's not a Ricky Henderson or something on base. So maybe you think Raul Liriano because he's very aggressive, potentially as a base dealer. And that's maybe not a first priority, but something you consider. But Canna, you know, he has the power, he has the discipline, he has the on-base percentage to be one of the better leadoff hitters. And I think that he's done a pretty good job there.
Hey, Shayna, one more for you before we let you go. If the A's keep up this hot start, if they're still in the race come, you know, middle or late July, what will the trade deadline look like for this organization?
I mean, I think they're going to have to look into solidifying their bullpen. The not having Trevor Rosenthal sort of sets things off a little bit in terms of their depth. I think they entered spring training, even though they got Sergio Romo, they got Trevor Rosenthal, they re-signed Yusmeiro Petit. I think that it was very clear that they were anxious about their pitching depth. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have and are still looking to to add a few more pieces in their bullpen. And they signed Homer Bailey to a minor league deal. He's in Las Vegas right now. So I think that that's going to, at the trade deadline, I would imagine they would be looking to add something there, a few pieces, at least one or two.
Well, great perspective. We always appreciate it. Shayna, thank you so much for joining Talking Baseball today.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Gary.
All right. A lot more coming up with Marty and Bill. You're listening to KBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.